I'm gonna begin today by asking you guys to imagine with me. We're gonna just imagine our way into this gospel that we just heard. So you can feel free to close your eyes if you'd like. Imagine that you are just one small person and the hurts of the world are everywhere and you're feeling overwhelmed. Imagine that your country is in turmoil. Its government in the hands of rulers whose decisions weigh heavily on everyday people, and you feel the burden of that. Imagine yourself standing at the edge of a wide open space. A field stretches out ahead of you, stretches as far as the eye can see. This is a gathering of the downtrodden and the discouraged. So I invite you to think of everybody that you've been carrying in your heart this week, all the people that you're worried about who would be in a company like that. Maybe you know someone who's fearful about losing their job right now or has already lost a job. Maybe you know a journalist or a scientist or an artist or a school administrator who has resigned in protest or been fired for standing up for what's right. Maybe you know somebody who's undocumented, or an asylum seeker, or a refugee who's now afraid to go to school or to appointments. Perhaps you know someone in Haiti who's living on very, very little, someone who's food insecure, someone who's in danger of health problems that you're worried about now as foreign aid's been shuttered. Maybe you know someone who's transgender, who's been excluded from something they loved, or who fears verbal insults or bodily harm. Imagine all these people you care about standing with you, shoulder to shoulder, and everyone they know, and everyone they're worried about. Look inside your heart, there's probably other heavy things there too. Maybe a recent grief is present there. You're still missing a friend who's gone. Look out over the crowd, all these people who, just like you, are just taking one day at a time. Look at all the different faces. Hear the murmur of their voices. Feel their breathing alongside yours as you all stand here expectantly at the side of the field together. The man they call the human one walks toward you. You've heard about this guy, but you expected him to be proclaiming big truths from a mountaintop or a pulpit, speaking down to listeners, eagerly looking up at him and hanging on his every word. Instead, he's come down to stand right where you are, eye to eye, in a level place. In fact, he has to look up a little bit to see you from where he's standing. And as you feel Jesus looking up to you, as his gaze rests on you, feel strength pouring into you. Feel his light flooding into yourself. Feel your energy coming back. And all of a sudden, realize you don't feel as helpless as you did a moment ago. He opens his mouth, and these are the words you hear. Blessed are you who are poor. The kingdom of God belongs to you. Blessed are you who are hungry right now. You will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now. You will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the human one. Their ancestors treated the prophets just the same. And just let those words land, let them settle, and see how they feel within you as we come back into our space. Since Advent this year, we've been hearing the Gospel of Luke on Sundays, and today we've come to Luke's version of what we often hear referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, but in Luke, it's really the Sermon on the Plain, because Jesus speaks to his disciples in a level place. The most famous version in Matthew's gospel and the words of his Beatitudes, which are better known to us, begin with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." But Luke doesn't have any time for the abstract or the theoretical. Luke's audience is a poor community of people feeling the weight of injustice on their own shoulders right now. So Luke says, blessed are you poor. Matthew says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But Luke says, blessed are you who hunger. He's speaking to people impacted directly right now by a grave, immediate plight. And the message of his sermon is, in God's dream for the world, things look radically different than they do now. God's dream includes a great change from present conditions. Someone in the parish was telling me recently about a game between her and her brother when they were younger. He used to enjoy pranking her whenever he could, and his pinnacle of pranking power was one time she returned from a trip out of the country, drove home from the airport, opened the door to her house, and for a moment she had to check to see whether she'd accidentally gone into the wrong house because he had rearranged all of the furniture. Nothing was in the same place, and everything was oriented to be facing a completely different way. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God that Jesus preached and lived turns everything upside down. The poor, who are so often pushed to the side, find a place at the center. The ones who are excluded are seen. The hungry have a feast prepared for them, and the ones who have been perhaps overfed are asked to step back from the table for a little while. Jesus is saying, if you grieve the current state of the world, you're in touch with God's kingdom. And that's cause for a little bit of joy. And if you're one of the ones happy with the way things are now, you're going to be one of those with long faces when the great rearranging comes about. Think of how the word blessed is used in everyday speech and pop culture. We usually see it attached to the acquisition of expensive stuff. So somebody will post a picture of a new car or a fancy vacation or new house, winning lottery ticket, and the hashtag is blessed, or the caption, blessed. The idea is being wealthy is a sign of God's favor, a little bit of the prosperity gospel sneaking in there. Alas, for folks who preach this, Jesus' own preaching is pretty clear. Woe to you who are rich, he goes on. You've already received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, because you'll be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, you will grieve and weep. And woe to you if everyone speaks well of you now. Their ancestors treated the false prophets the same way. It's an age-old strategy of rulers to write a narrative in which the current state of the world is divinely ordained. They tell the story that this present moment was brought about by God, and this is the way things are meant to be and always shall be. The Sermon on the Plain is a call for us not to normalize what's presently happening. We're not to be convinced that the status quo now is the will of God. We're to hold on to the vision of something radically different. And this vision isn't just for someday in the future, although of course we have hope for a future that will be better. But it's also made real every time we embody this in the present. The world says, blessed are the powerful, the wealthy, the celebrities, the billionaires. But God's ways are different from society's ways, as the prophet Jeremiah reminded us in the first reading. God's love rests on those who feel powerless, those who mourn, the poor and the hungry. And Jesus came to bring a message of consolation to those folks, to bring good news to the poor. And every time we do the same, we become part of that great turning upside down of the world. In Tennessee, not far from Graceland, 9 grandmothers have gathered together for 30 years now in a sort of secret society. From 4 to 7 a.m. each weekend, they bake dozens and dozens of cakes from their old prized family recipes. All week long, before they set themselves to this, they've been keeping their eyes open. They've been reading the obituaries in the newspaper to notice which families have had a loved one die. They've been eavesdropping on their errands to the bakery and the salon and the laundromat and the grocery store. And whenever they catch mention of a single mom who's having trouble paying the bills or a person in the community who's going through a hard time, they sort of make a mental note of that. When night falls, they drive past these neighbors' houses and they drop off care packages. All are different, but each contains a cake with an anonymous note saying, "Somebody loves you." In the summer, they drive through neighborhoods and they note which houses have fans in the window. Remember, this is the South. So someone not having air conditioning is often a sign that maybe this house is on some hard times and could use a little help. Or they drive through in the evening and they notice what homes somebody is in, but there are no lights on, likely a signal this family's had their utilities turned off. And they jot down the address and they pay that house's bill. So how'd they amass the fortune required to do this? What was their grand scheme? Well, they didn't really have one. They aren't millionaires. They did this by clipping coupons, shopping at thrift stores, cutting back on how much they bought for themselves, and they used their surplus for their drive-bys, as they call them. And every bill paid, every package of supplies, every cake with a little note communicates to somebody, you are seen and you are loved. So their focus, like God's, isn't on the rich and powerful. It's honed in with care and precision on hurting people in their community. And we have to dare to imagine, what if American society operated more that way? Imagine if we all watched out for each other with that kind of diligence. Recently, I was speaking with someone in our parish who lamented how often she's been crying lately. She told me, "I feel like I must be weaker than other people because I see what's happening and I just weep." Blessed are you who weep now, Jesus says. It's a blessing to have empathy in a world with an empathy deficit. There's a line in a hymn that Andrew often plays where we make this prayer to God. We sing, "Break my heart for what breaks yours. Thank goodness for being able to feel deeply. That's what will save us in the end." So stand again in your mind on that level plane with Jesus. Stand side by side with that great cloud of witnesses, our fellow human beings whose hearts break for the current world and who know a better one is possible. See Jesus raise his eyes. Feel him looking up to you. Stand in your power and take in his words. Blessed are you.